All right, back on the Young Turks, guys. Cenk and John with you guys here. A couple of fun tweets for you. Davey M writes in, Fox News will offer Mike Flynn immunity. And that dummy might be stupid enough to take it. Okay, all right, I'll tell you everything. Yeah, yeah. Anyway.
Actually, he's a conservative. He's more likely to be given some sort of big deal by like CNN.
Yeah, good point. T-shirt for Davey M. That was too funny. Okay.
Nice. When you make it's too funny. What are we going to do?
It's too funny. We got so tired of laughing, it made our head spin. Anyway, when you make everybody LOL, it's a pretty good reason to get a t-shirt. Everybody else, shop TYT.com. Don't wait to win a shirt. They're all great shirts. The one from last night I loved, Have At It Hoss. It's a new TYT shirt. Check that out. Null Cookie says, what's common to all ancient Greek tragedies? Hubris. Doesn't end well, ever. Jefferson Smith says, maybe Obama just didn't really like Clinton that much, so he didn't want Comey to help her out. Maybe Obama's fine with Republicans. And there was more talk from Mike and others about how maybe he didn't like her referring to him as that man and joking about his assassination. All the stuff that Hillary Clinton did do in the 07-08 primaries. Okay. Now, I don't believe
that's true. That's a long time to hold a grudge.
And no way. Obama's not that guy.
He's too cerebral. He's not that emotional.
Yeah. And he helped talk Joe Biden out of running. He cleared the field for Hillary Clinton. He was 100% behind Hillary Clinton. So don't believe the hype on that. Okay. And TYTnetwork.com/go. Let's see how we're doing there. $50 from Jairo in Florida. $50 from Sally Joe in Pennsylvania. And $250 from Amy in Vermont. And there we are at 556-440. I don't know. Let's do a pick an arbitrary number. Can I see 558 by the end of the show? 558.
Okay.
Okay. And remember, cameras, chairs available for $5,000. This has been the Nick Wilde chair for 3 years. Actually, now almost 4 years. We got the Brian Weissman camera. We got the 241 crew out there, and among others. Now, by the way, we have this two Stephen Garcia cameras in this new
trial.
Jordan and Nomi's cameras are gone. Stephen Garcia took both of them. And then Savannah Cooper took one of the cameras in here, I think the middle camera. So thank you, Savannah. Jump in there, guys. We actually never forget. We put your names on the cameras and the chairs, and that remains for a long, long time. All of that is at tytnetwork.com/go. Thank you. All right.
Okay, lots to get to. Just bear in mind, six stories, the two sexy ones are the last ones. We only get there if we go fast.
Look at this guy just talking to me on air, like, hey, Cenk, stop talking so much.
I hear me you. Too. If I say it, I might apply it to myself as well. Also, you, JR, look at him. Look at him talking. Anyway, okay, let's jump to the news. Today, the repeal of the controversial North Carolina bathroom bill, HB 2, was sent to the governor, who is expected to sign it, but not everyone is happy with the compromise repeal bill that eventually got passed. So if you weren't around for HB 2, it was signed back in March of last year. It curbed legal protections for lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people, and requires transgender people in public bathrooms to use the gender, to use the bathroom that corresponds with the gender on their birth certificate, which is of course not what transgender individuals want. And that was the whole point of signing the bill in the first place. Now, this new bill would repeal HB 2, create a moratorium on local non-discrimination ordinances through 2020, and leave regulation of bathrooms to state lawmakers. That first part is good, but those last two parts actually theoretically pave the way for a great deal of discrimination against exactly the groups that were targeted by the bill being repealed. So some people not happy about it. Representative Deb Butler, one of the state's few openly gay legislators, was among those who said the compromise would not ameliorate the stigma and suffering associated with HB 2, saying we would rather suffer HB 2 than to have this body one more time deny us the full and unfettered protection of the law. Which is a great quote right there.
So let me explain how right she is. Okay, House Bill 2, terrible, they take it away. Great. But if you replace it with something that says something almost identical to it, well, then what have you done? That's not a, okay, but no, guys, it's not House Bill 2, it's House Bill 3. Mm-hmm. What difference does it make? What does it say? So let me just be super clear about it. When it says creates moratorium on local non-discrimination ordinances, that means local cities who wants to pass laws saying you cannot discriminate against gay people, not allowed.
For 4 years.
Local cities are not allowed until the year 2020 to say you can't discriminate against gays.
And that's what started this whole process in the first place when a city in North Carolina attempted to do that.
So
they got what they wanted in the end.
Yeah, so if the state says we're discriminating against gays, local cities can't say, no, I don't want to discriminate against gays. No, according to this rule, you have to just sit there and take it.
Yeah.
We're going to force discrimination down your throat. So, okay, how did we win? Where's the win? I think I might be missing the win. And the second part is it leaves regulation of bathrooms to state lawmakers. Well, these are the same state lawmakers who just told you that they don't want trans people in the bathrooms of their choice. They're the ones who pass hospital. How's that help? It was the local guys. By the way, what happened to we want local government empowered Republicans?
Mm-hmm.
Turns out you were lying about that. So let's just be clear about that. You're total liars. You never meant you want local government empowered. You just meant, I don't know, I like the southern states that are more racist, so I'll say that I'm for local rights. Now when it turns out the local cities are less racist than you, less bigoted than you, you're like, don't you dare do that. I'm taking away all your local rights.
Yeah.
Okay?
Well, then.
And at the state level now, they can tell you which bathroom you must go in according to this legislation.
Yes, so let's throw some insult to injury. They get to do that. They effectively get what they want. They can pass another bill that just closes the gap between this and HB2 if they want to. But even with that, it's not just liberals, supposedly, or Democrats in North Carolina that are angry about this. A lot of Republicans are angry as well. Representative Burt Jones, a Republican, opposed the compromise, citing his belief that God, quote, created us male and female, and arguing that it was not discriminatory for him to hold that belief. So they still get to discriminate against these people, and even that isn't enough for Republicans in North Carolina.
Yeah, no, a lot of Republicans voted against this because they thought it was too liberal. So, by the way, schmuck of North Carolina, well, wouldn't God have created that person to feel like they are a different gender? I mean, didn't God create everything? So if somebody says, look, I was born a male, but I biologically, but I feel, I know my identity is female. So who put that impulse in her?
Satan.
There you go.
If I had to guess, it's
right. Satan. So you really, I mean, you guys believe in this mythology? Because I mean, there's some chance that it was actually, of course, Zeus, or maybe perhaps Odin.
It could be.
Yeah.
Minerva might have gotten involved.
So you really think these people are either possessed by Satan or God is confused? And you're going to do that to your family members if they're in that category, but you're not.
Yeah.
Because then once it affects you, because the conservative mind can't think more than 3 feet away from it. Yeah. So they're like, me like my tribe. Me get scared of others. Oh, no. Me has trans person in my tribe. Me now immediately change my opinion. Okay, that's basically how they work.
Yeah. So let's turn to a slightly different angle on this. So look, a lot of people are not happy with the repeal of HB2. And it seems like, you know, they got all this pushback, boycotts, all of that. The Democrats feel empowered. You have a new Democratic governor. Why is it that the repeal compromise sucks so much? Well, J.R. Jackson put together some quotes from the governor of the state talking about why it is that they ended up in the position that they did.
And I want to remind you, this is a Democrat, and he won because people of North Carolina disliked this bill so much that even though they normally vote Republican, they ousted the Republican governor that foisted this bill upon them, and they elected this guy to make sure he gets rid of it. Nonetheless, here he is.
Today, we repealed House Bill 2. And we begin to end discrimination in North Carolina. We begin to bring back jobs and sporting events. We begin to repair our reputation. Under House Bill 2, we had zero LGBT protections. Zero. Today's law provides for LGBT protections. Today's law not only provides for LGBT protections now, but opens the door for more in the future. This is not a perfect deal, and it is not my preferred solution. Unfortunately, our supermajority Republican legislature will not pass these protections. But this is an important goal that I will keep fighting for. And in 2020, our local governments will be able to pass stronger non-discrimination ordinances that protect even more people. I wish it were sooner than 2020. I really do. But while these additional protections may be temporarily delayed, they will not be forever denied. I could demand that House Bill 2 be repealed fully, as I have been doing for a long time, and just not do anything other than demand that it be repealed. And this law would have continued to go on forever. But it was clear that they were not going to do a full repeal of House Bill 2.
So look, it seems like, for what it's worth, it looks like his heart is in the right place. But he's wrong there. He says that this opens the door for more protections in the future. Theoretically, it also opens the door for those protections to be taken away. It now sets a legal precedent for state lawmakers to say who can use what bathroom. And you just said they have a supermajority in the state house, which implies that they'll be the ones passing those bills. So this idealistic future that he's set up, it doesn't actually make sense based on the political reality that he's trying to describe.
There's no way that guy wins re-election. That guy reeks of weakness. So John is being too kind to him. One part of the law literally does not allow local ordinances to stop discrimination. So how does that open the door for more protections? It literally slams the door shut on more protections.
And it sets the precedent of being able to block it. So that's just extend another 4 or 8 years.
So no, it's not theoretical. No, it literally does not allow you to protect gay rights at the local level or gay people at the local level in North Carolina. So that's not true. It's just not true. It's mainly a gigantic concession by this weak ass Democrat to North Carolina. He's like, well, they have a supermajority. I don't know what I could do. How about you run against them like you just did and won? How about you do that? Mm-hmm. And while that never occurred to me, how about you go and break them? How about you say, hey, these idiots just cost us $3.7 billion, according to an analysis by the Associated Press. Mm-hmm. In lost business, they just cost us the NCAAs when North Carolina's in the Final Four. You're going to let the Republicans do that? Look at what they did to you, North Carolina. You're going to let them do that? They just cost us an NBA All-Star game. Get them out of office. Throw them out. Throw the bums out. They say, oh, there's nothing I could do. And I just got elected on this issue, but I'm going to give in right away because I'm a dummy. There's no way this weak sauce dude ever gets reelected, even the dog catcher. He's just so lucky that the Democratic establishment is like, okay, pick a schmuck, any schmuck, mm-hmm. running against this deeply unpopular governor because he's so unpopular because of this bill. And he's like, oh, okay, I'll do it.
I have to admit, whenever we're playing a video and the person has even the lightest southern accent, I'm like, oh, this ain't gonna go well for them.
The writing was on the wall with this. You remember, as soon as he was elected, this supermajority state legislator, along with Pat McCrory, who was on his way out, said, let's strip him of all of these powers that a normal governor would have that I just had from Pat McCrory's angle, and let's make sure he has none of that. And his response was, well, you know, I would like to work with this majority, because that's the only way we're getting anything done. I didn't get mad at them. I just said, can you please give it back?
Yeah, no. So that's such a great point by JR. First of all, if I was governor of North Carolina, I wouldn't be like, I lied to where we did, but I would have been like, I'd like to beat this majority with a stick. So somebody hand me a stick. So let me explain. They strip you of your powers, and what do? You give them unlimited power until 2020. You think they're going to listen to any agreement in 2020? No, if they're in charge, they're going to do whatever the hell they want. And if you're in charge, they're going to strip you of all your powers. And you're going to go, oh, thank you very much. There's nothing I can do. Okay, so no, that's an open-handed slap, boy. You're going to do something or sit there and bleed all day. And so this is a terrible so-called compromise. It's an attempt to go, let's just get beyond the boycott. Please, 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 please. I don't actually want to do anything. I don't really want to protect gay people in North Carolina. I just want basketball back.
Well, so then I think it'll already be obvious to the people of North Carolina and the activist groups that cared about HB2 and have fought against it this whole time. But very often we end these stories without necessarily giving any advice whatsoever to what people should actually do about it. But it's pretty clear what you should do in this case. continue the boycotts, continue the activism, continue to run on it, because it hasn't really been repealed.
Yes.
The job is not actually done.
And let me tell you the great news that comes out of this, which is this is not like there people are pretending this is good news. It's not. But the great news is economic sanctions do work.
Yeah.
They don't work with dictators. They don't work in Iraq and they don't work in North Korea because they don't care about their people. But if you have a diverse power base with a lot of business interests and you hurt those business interests, they pay attention.
Like in South Africa.
Okay. Like in South Africa and now in North Carolina. So understand that the most powerful thing you have is the money in your pocket. Even Republicans will be like, whoa, hey, wait a minute. Did you just vote with your dollars? No. Okay. So I love trans people. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm telling you, you keep this boycott going and you will break them. The guy who's not going to break them is Mr. Cooper. So I don't care to hang with Mr. Cooper.
Okay. I knew it was coming. I was like, well, I guess if this comes up again, we can use that as the master. Oh, he's saying it.
Break them with a stick, so a political stick.
Sorry, Juice. I'm sorry for making this go further. But the ACC, obviously the Atlantic Coast Conference, which is part of this whole thing,
obviously.
And then part of the NCAA, but of course, it's a conference, and they need to be accepted into this whole thing. Their statement, the recently passed legislation just today allows the opportunity to reopen the discussion with the ACC Council of Presidents regarding neutral site conference championships being held in the state of North Carolina. So it is working in their favor.
Well, they're happy.
Bring this money back in, and they continue to discriminate. You're welcome from Mr. Cooper.
Yeah.
Well, that was mission accomplished. All the donors are happy. Okay, all right, let's move on.
I'm a lib, okay? So I see that guy, and I know that he's about to get mauled, and I feel bad for him. Anyway,
wait till you get a load of the next guy, man. My favorite story of the day.
Okay, let's turn to it then. Mike Pence, vice president, he benefits from the fact that very often he's seen next to Donald Trump. And so next to Donald Trump, almost anyone is going to look perfectly normal. And as we've pointed out on the show, the media attempts to portray Mike Pence as a stabilizing normal force. Nothing weird at all. But something came out from a little bit more than a decade ago that's interesting at the very least. It was revealed to The Hill back in 2002 that Pence reportedly won't have dinner alone with a woman who is not his wife. Mm-hmm. Oh. He also won't attend any events where alcohol is served unless Karen is there with him.
Mm, is mommy there with you?
Now look, this came out like a day ago. And in the wake of it, it's been revealed to us libs living in our bubbles that this is not the rarest thing in the world for a lot of extremely conservative Christians, that these sorts or something like it in marriages can happen. But it's not something that I hear of frequently. And so it's noteworthy.
Okay. So I'm going to separate this story into two different categories. One is the you can't have dinner with your wife without your wife with a woman. And there was another part here where she's apparently, although she doesn't get involved in policy, he does run all of his policy by her. Which, by the way, I can decipher that for you. She's involved in policy. Mm. She says she serves as his, quote, gut check and has his prayer warrior. Okay.
Oh,
now,
God.
So now,
imagine if you use the term prayer warrior, but you said it in Arabic.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be the most horrifying thing in the world for American Christians.
No, it's okay. Mike Pence, I just give him counsel on how Allah would want him to act. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You make
I'm a lib and I'm scared right now.
Anyways, so now, but John is right. Folks think like that in a lot of the country, and I get it. And they talk like they don't mean that they're going to go commit jihad with Mike Pence. They just say, and their way of saying we think things through is to say we pray about it. Right, so I understand it, and I like to make fun of it because I'm agnostic and I'm a guy on the coast or whatever you want to call me. But I get it, guys, I get it. And even the whole gentlemanly, like, oh, I don't go to dinner with anyone who isn't my wife alone. It's an old genteel way of, and it's funny, and I think it's ridiculous. And by the way, that also has a significant downside. So what if you work for Mike Pence? Now, there's a lot of lunches, dinners, etc., that happen. In business circles. Now, if he's got to bring mommy along, otherwise he can't go. Now, if you're a guy, he can go with you, and then you get to advance in your career. But if you're a woman, well, you know, mommy's not here, so I gotta get home and get cucked. So I can't go to dinner with you, and that could have significant trouble. I was trying to be understanding, but
it didn't last.
And by the way, it's also very similar to Muslim fundamentalists. So look, I'll tell you a story. I don't know why I should tell you or not, but Al Jazeera America, they come over, take over Current TV. We're working there at the time, and so I have tremendously mixed feelings about this. I think a lot of great people work there, and I love them. And I think they produce a lot of great pieces. And I was happy. We had a marketing partnership later with AJ Plus, their online service. We don't have that anymore. But great pieces. Go back and watch our videos on that. Proud of all that stuff. But their culture was problematic, especially in America. Here's what I mean by that. Very specific thing. They would not allow women to go to lunches with their bosses by themselves. There had to be another male there. I heard that and I was like, pack your bags, we're out of here. That's not, what are you, crazy? Irina's the executive producer of the show. She has to take a babysitter with her to go to a meeting with management? Pack your bags,
Anna,
we're out
of here.
And
I go to lunches. Shit, we've sinned.
No, so I know that some people look at it as it's no big deal, but it is a big deal.
Yeah.
And it's wrong when Christians do it, it's wrong when Muslims do it, and when Muslims do it, we go, whoa, that's crazy, right? Mm-hmm. But when Mike Pence, the vice president of the United States, does it in a Christian context, we're like, well, come on. It's what a good Christian would do. And this is the lighter side of the story. Okay, like the ones where I'm not as judgmental.
Yeah.
Now the part where I'm going to go full-blown judgmental here is, they love to put their judgment on us, so a little return of the favor. He won't attend any events where alcohol is served unless Karen is by his side? Oh, that's not a Christian thing.
Hold on, the way he
said it was a bitch thing.
The way he said it was he doesn't want to go to those events without being able to show off his woman. He said something like that.
Oh, please. No. It's what, look, if my wife's like, hey, you're not allowed to go out with the guys and even have one beer if I'm not there. I mean, I got to draw a line somewhere, don't I? I mean, are we all, you going to just sit there and take that?
No, but that's not the dark side. The dark side is the unstated but obvious flip of everything that we've seen here. Because it's one thing to say he won't have dinner with a woman who's not his wife. It's one thing to say he won't go to a party if there's alcohol if his wife isn't there. Because that seems like him being a gentleman. But then the reverse of it is, so is your wife allowed to go to dinner with a man? Or do you say no, she can't do that?
Oh, please tell me that she's allowed to go.
Does your
you cuck, please tell me she's allowed to go.
Is your wife allowed to go to a party where there's alcohol without you there? Or do you not allow her to do that? We know the answer to that.
Yeah.
Of course they don't allow them to do that.
So you're not.
That's the dark side.
Such a great question by John. Either you do not allow your wife to cohort with other men without you present there, which would make you great candidate for the Taliban. Okay, or you're not allowed to go out with women, but she's allowed to go out with any guy she likes. Which one is it, Mike?
How bad do you want
Which
to be?
Which one is okay. it, Mike?
Anyway.
I can't wait for your answer. By the way, you make Doug Christie look like a man. Mike, no penis Pence.
Now okay. Look, I understand.
Oh, so I gotta go ask my wife. I can't, a beer. Oh my God, guys, I can't have a beer. I gotta go ask my wife.
I'm worried about the end of this. I understand that people have agreements and like there can be situations where maybe there can be like a little bit of jealousy. Like we're humans, okay? We're tiny little rodents like wandering on the surface of the planet. That's all we are. And so I understand that people get nervous about things and they draw the line in different places. But at some point when you try to make it like biblical, like this is the moral way to live, and understand that people like Mike Pence have been criticizing every step of our dating lives, of our sex lives, the way we get married, our whole lives, and saying that they're right too, because God, the creator of the universe, says that they're right. Everything we do is wrong, whether it's on Tinder or at bars, or if we're getting married, if you want to have sex with someone who's the same gender as you. And then you have to do this sort of control because you can't, at the end of the day, actually control yourself if you're around them. You're the sex equivalent of an alcoholic. That it just bubbles up through the course of your life and it makes you really pissed off.
Well, so that's the thing, John. That's the other thing I was going to ask. Is Mike Pence a maniac? That if he goes to a dinner or a lunch with a woman that is not his wife and his wife's not around, he's just going to be like, oh, let me at her. Like, no. Are you some sort of weirdo monster?
Or that she has so little faith in him that she'll assume he's disrespecting her? It's bad, whichever angle you look at it, it's bad.
I mean, wait, I'm having a beer without my wife. Where's the chicks? Rawr! Like rip his shirt like Alex Jones. I mean, is he some sort of monster we're not aware of? I mean, who is this guy?
Yeah.
So he has no self-control.
Well, see, Donald Trump is that way. That's the thing. He says he can't even help it. He just starts kissing.
Yeah, and so just like Muslim fundamentalists, oh no, I mean, if I saw that woman's ankle, I'd obviously have to attack her. Their view on men is actually really insulting. That men cannot control themselves. If they are in a room with a woman that is not their wife, they will, and they see either their wife's not there to control them, or they saw her ankle or her elbow, they will attack her. Their view of men is actually disgusting.
Yeah, because some of them are disgusting. And again, in any individual case, I understand you got to draw a line somewhere, people have different culture, blah, 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 all that stuff. But we're worried about the precedents that are being set and how far it could be taken and the various ways that it can hold people back that people don't necessarily think about. That's all.
And again, Mike Pence in a room without his wife. I'm coming for her. Finally, mommy's not here.
I'll have the chicken parmesan and every woman in this room.
Bitch. Okay, I admit it. I'm a bad man. Oh my God, tonight I'm going to dinner. Wendy's not there. And I'm going to have a drink. Oh, sick. Okay.
Okay, we should take a break.
Sorry, hashtag not at all sorry.
Oh, man.
Okay, when we come back, super serious story about lead and you will be shocked at the difference it has made nationally. Literally shocking. And then we're back to sex, but this time we're going to leave out Mike Pence. But we are going to tell you if you're more likely to have a better sex life or not, depending on your view of sex. Mm-hmm. And that's
love.
Oh, so that's a super interesting story when we come back.
I was thinking it.
All right. Just picturing Mike Pence at a party. Anyway.
Salad bar, 6 o'clock.
We're going streaking. Okay. Ray for Madness. Government should regulate bathrooms. Gotta love that tiny, tiny government. We're gonna beat them with a stick on that talking point until they stop saying they're for small government, because they ain't.
Yeah.
Gabby Morita says, do North Carolina Republicans not realize that in a few decades they're all gonna be featured as the primary villains on some HBO miniseries?
Yeah.
No, they don't, but that is certainly going to happen. Vanilla Zeiss, which is already fun, says people who force their ideology on others are insecure about their beliefs. True belief doesn't need a consensus, just saying. Another great, great point that I love making all the time. I'm agnostic, so the idea of forcing someone else to be agnostic is hilarious to me. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to persuade you to be agnostic, to not believe in religion. But okay, I'm in charge of the government now. Now you must all agree to me what I'm saying.
It just doesn't work.
Yeah.
But they don't care from their point of view. They want you to at least act like you're a Christian.
Yeah, it's ineffectual, it's stupid, and it's against freedom. Anyway, and totally unnecessary if you actually believe what you're saying. Because I think we're going to persuade everybody and that we're going to win. They think they have no chance of persuading people. That's why they must force their religion on to others.
Whereas I think the world is going to boil in 70 years and we're all going to die.
Well, fair counterpoint. Okay, Pasquinade Post says, can't Mrs. Pence just get him a chastity belt? That made me think of an uncomfortable visual as she locks it up.
I went to a museum in Amsterdam that had some of those. They don't look comfortable.
Ninny says somebody turns into a drunken whore without his wife. What a wuss.
Drunken whore.
And Vita Delset says, Pence's dominionist bullshit keeps women from advancing, keeps them in their place.
Yeah.
I hear you on that, sister. And I think I read these names. Oh, member shoutouts. Donna Uriu and Robert Valenzuela. Donna and Robert, thank you so much for being members. We got a fun post game for you guys today. Plus, tonight is Aggressive Progressives. So they are coming on, it's 9 o'clock Eastern. If you haven't seen Aggressive Progressives, you gotta check it out. It's the first segment's free. So stay right here on tytnetwork.com/live. Make sure you watch the first segment of Aggressive Progressives. And then if you like it, the whole show is for members at tytnetwork.com/join. Okay? All right, what's next?
Some important science is next. A long-running study of lead exposure in New Zealand has revealed that lead is even more damaging to our brain than we had previously thought. So researchers kept in touch with a little bit shy of 600 people for decades, starting when they were born in Dunedin, New Zealand, in the 1970s, all the way up to the present. So we're talking about between 40 and 50 years of tracking these people and conducting both surveys and also scientific tests on them. As children, the study participants were tested on their cognitive abilities, IQ scores based on tests of working memory, pattern recognition, verbal comprehension, and ability to solve problems. When the kids were 11 years old, researchers tested their blood for lead. When they turned 38, the cognitive ability of these study participants was tested again. So that's the most recent part of this study. So let's look at what effect the lead has actually had on them back then and up until today. The participants in the study who had low blood levels as children had an adult IQ that was as high as when they were kids. So it maintained over the course of between 40 and 50 years at this point. However, children who experienced higher lead exposures saw their intellectual abilities decline from their baseline starting point as time wore on. And people who saw that decline also experienced downward social mobility. Children who'd had high lead exposure were more likely than the other kids to go on to have jobs that required slightly less education and brought in little less income compared to their parents' jobs. And in the study, every 5 microgram increase in lead concentration in the blood at age 11 corresponded to a drop of more than 1 point of IQ at age 38. So look, we've known from previous studies, many of them conducted in the US and in Europe, that exposure to lead harms your brain development and creates lower IQs and cognitive abilities when you're a kid, as you're developing. But to find out that over the course of the decades, it actually has some sort of corrosive effect on your IQ and cognitive abilities, causing them to decline as you go into middle age and beyond. I mean, that's scary, and at least to me is new information.
Yeah, this is devastating on several different grounds. So first of all, yes, it definitely affects your brain development. It's not talked about in this study, but mentioned in other studies. It actually also makes you more inclined towards violence. Mm-hmm. So
impulsivity and all that stuff. Yeah.
And so it is devastating. And look at the second part that's so disturbing is only a 1.6 point drop in IQ leads to disastrous real world effects, where you get less education, you get jobs that don't pay as well, and their lives are dramatically affected by just a 1.6 IQ point drop, right? So if your average IQ is 100, just losing 1.6% of that has huge effects. Now,
or if there's more lead in the area, it can be even more than the 1.6. I mean, if you get 5, 10, 15 micrograms.
Now, that's going to lead to good news in a second about what we've done to clean up lead, but understand that lead was in paint in soil water, which, by the way, right now we've got a soil water absolute crisis in East Chicago, Indiana, that Jordan Charton's covered for the Young Turks, where the lead in the soil was 281 times above allowable levels, and the kids were playing in that soil the whole time. What did they? It was a lead smeltering plant. So the lead's in the water, the lead's in the soil. And you know what they did? They built projects on top of it.
Yeah.
So we poison these kids. We poison all of ourselves. Most importantly, back in the day, lead was in the fuel. Mm-hmm. So all of our cars were emitting lead into the air and poisoning all of us. So Kevin Drum at Mother Jones has written great articles about this. Now, this is a separate study, obviously, and reported by NPR. And I'm telling you right now, it is really convincing that the big spike in crime that we had 60s, most especially the 70s and the 80s, was probably because of how much lead we put into the air, into the paint, and into the water and soil. Now, the great news is, once we got the lead out,
at least out of the gas and the paint for the most part, but not all of the paint.
No, clearly based on obviously what's happening in so many communities, including in Indiana, we haven't gotten it all out, and it disproportionately affects poor people, because especially in America. Interestingly, not in New Zealand. In New Zealand, the lead is uniform throughout the country. The rich and the poor have it the same. But in America, poor people live in areas that are more affected by lead. So it becomes a vicious cycle.
For a couple, one, that they tend to live in older houses, which are more likely to still have lead paint. And two, at least decades ago, if you lived in an urban area, it had a lot more cars. The concentration of the lead that was exhausted from the cars was much greater than if you lived in a rural area.
And third, they don't build Beverly Hills on top of a smeltering plant. Yeah. They build projects on top of a lead smeltering plant. And then they turn around and blame poor people for the conditions that they're in and go, why don't they just pull themselves up by their bootstraps? Well, you built their houses on top of poison and on top of a toxic situation. Now, you're wondering, what in the world's the good news? Okay, graphic 14, last one here. The findings lend credence to an estimate that in the US, over the last 40 years, interventions to reduce lead exposure may have raised the mean IQ in adults by as much as 4.5 points. Wow.
Yeah.
1.6 points gets you a decline, gets you a disastrous results. We tripled that in increasing our IQ because we took the lead out of the fuel and out of so many different areas. We're not done yet. But there has never been a better case for regulation.
Yeah.
So when you hear Trump, he's nonstop talking about Republicans. It doesn't matter. Sometimes conservative Democrats. Oh, we got to cut regulation. We got to cut regulation. Saved our minds. It doesn't mean that every regulation is great. It doesn't mean that you can't overregulate at times. But sometimes regulation is like making sure there's seatbelts in cars. Save millions of lives. Regulation that says you got to clean up the lead. Not only saved our lives, but made our lives significantly better.
Yeah.
We were poisoning our own kids. And once we stopped doing that, we're literally a smarter country for it.
With lower crime rates, yes. Regulations are just government laws that protect you. Regulations are protections. Protections from the government are regulations. That's all it is. They want you to think about regulations and think about one thing, it hurting business. But that is not how you need to think about it. It protects you and it protects your family. And we need to remember, too, something we reported on late last year, the results of a Reuters analysis of lead studies in thousands of counties around the country showing that there were elevations in literally thousands of counties. So regardless of where you are, if you live in America, you need to take a look at the lead situation in your house, both in terms of the soil, in terms of the paint, and make sure that to the extent that you can, you get on top of it, because there's very few areas of the US that are immune to lead exposure.
Yes. And if it affects 3,000 communities, I got news for you. You might be in one of them.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go to the next one.
Let's turn to something much lighter. So it turns out that true love actually sucks at the very least for your sex life. And that's not just based on my own sad personal experience. We actually have a study to back it up. So a study found that our sexual satisfaction is based largely on the attitudes we have towards our relationship, which sort of makes sense. But let's go a little bit deeper. Individuals who invest heavily in beliefs of soulmates and destined lovers, which sounds good, are less likely to report long-term sexually satisfying relationships, which is a bit odd. And the reverse is true too. The study, which was published in the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology, says that individuals high in sexual destiny beliefs, this belief that there is someone we're meant to be with, think that the quality of their sex life will predict their relationship success, meaning they use their sexual relationship as a barometer for how their overall relationship is functioning. So if you see someone and you have love at first sight and then you get nasty with each other and it's amazing, okay, then that confirms your beliefs. But if it doesn't quite work out in the beginning, if you think love is supposed to be immediate, then very often that can make you think that you're not meant to be with that person. So the team explained that a healthy and satisfying relationship is one where both partners work to resolve sexual differences. And sexual differences just means unsatisfactory sex in the beginning parts of relationships. Now, there are some people, I call them quitters, who have bad sex early on in a relationship, and then they move on to someone else, which just spreads the problem, really. But it turns out, shocker, you can actually work past that, and you can improve. But it turns out that believing that there's a sexual destiny for us, this is actually the opposite point. Believing that you have a sexual destiny and that love should be just at first sight stops you from doing that initial work to get past your sexual differences, which can make your relationship much stronger. Not just in terms of sexual satisfaction, but overall relationship satisfaction.
So I think this has got great news, bad news, right? So first of all, I'd like to say, I knew it. All that talk about love at first sight. I know, like, it's romantic. It's in all the movies, and I know I'm a bad guy for you know, being bah humbug about it. But you're wrong. There's a no. You just got turned on by the guy, or you got turned on by the girl. That's all that happened. Mm-hmm. And your erection does not mean that you have some sort of cosmic love connection. Okay. And so, like, and those folks who think, well, that is going to lead to a deeper love and understanding and better sex and a better relationship. Well, we now have data that you're wrong, and I was right all along, and you were wrong.
And when it comes to love, that's what matters at the end of the day.
That's right, proving you're wrong. Okay, because this story is all about me. But in all seriousness, there's a really important point in here. And it has to do, and I'm going to actually relate this to a completely different story, about whether you teach your kids to be smart. And how important that is, and you keep giving them. Now you think, like, maybe that's a good thing. You keep giving them confidence. You're smart, you're great, etc. Or you teach them the value of hard work. And it really, in this case, is an or. And it turns out there is a clear right answer. Don't keep telling them that they're smart. That is not the right strategy. Why? Now you might think that's counterintuitive, mm-hmm. especially in our, you know, self-esteem culture, etc. It's because they then think, I'm either good at this or I'm not good at this. Whether it's math, reading, or whatever it might be. And so the minute they encounter a problem, they go, oh, okay, I must not be good at it. And they give up on it, right? Mm-hmm. So whereas if you tell them, hey, no, the whole point is you get success based on how hard you work.
Yeah.
They go, oh, I'm not good at it, but that's okay. They told me that I need to work harder. They work harder, and great majority of the time, they get better results. And it turns out for sex, it's the same thing. If you think that it's a magical love connection through time and you're my soulmate, yeah. and it doesn't work on one or two occasions, they're like, oh, you must not be my soulmate, that's not meant to be. I'm giving up on it immediately.
Yeah.
Whereas the other person who, the other set of folks, the couple who's rational, goes, oh, well, you did it wrong, or not wrong, but like, hey, I like it this way, yeah. right? And then they go on to have great sex because they figured out what each other likes, while the other schmucks are going, where's my soulmate?
Well, yeah. And so the thing I think that complicates it is that this is a topic that we don't, outside of on TYT and Think Tank, don't talk about that much. So it's easy to be in your own bubble and just look at it from your own point of view. So if you, like hypothetically like me, start to have sex and just amazing at it, then you might think that that's how it is for everybody. But think about the poor people that were, anyway, it's a joke. Yeah, but so at the end of the day, this is like a complex way of saying that communication and sex is important. I feel like I'm with Sexter and Sandra. That's all that it takes. Are you able to communicate what you like and find out what they like? And are you confident and open enough to actually want to do that in the first place? That's effectively what I read out of this. And if you can do that, then you will start to develop more together. That makes you overall happier with the relationship. They say that this also has the effect of a protective effect on couples' relationships through tough times, like having kids, for instance, which could be really hard, and that sort of thing. And so overall, and especially once you consider how, if you're thinking about overall life satisfaction, there's a couple of big influences on that. And your relationship satisfaction, that's a big part of that. And so at the end of the day, sexual communication might literally be the most important thing in the world.
And I feel like I feel a little bad. I know I'm being a little bit of a jerk for those of you who believe in soulmates and love at first sight and stuff. But you're wrong. But much, much more important than putting aside wrong, right, is that, guys, don't let that affect how you think about what's meant to be or what's not meant to be. Mm-hmm. Okay, actually talk to one another and get to a better place, because you might be shocked at what you find if you actually try.
Yeah.
Okay, we got one more story for you guys.
Okay, gonna do it really fast. A fashion brand called Eckhouse Lada is promoting their clothing using fairly hardcore pornography combined with what I would call minimalistic blurring of particular areas. So we're just gonna show you some of these ads. Because they're awesome, let's bring them up. See if you can find the clothing in the ad.
Yeah, I don't even know what they're advertising. I looked at all these ads.
I think it's the shirt.
I looked at these ads extensively over and over again.
I think it's the socks. So here you have both straight and non-straight couples. You have a wide range of people. This is from apparently a fairly well-known erotic Japanese photographer.
Of course it's Japanese.
That is You can't blur less. I would say you haven't blurred enough, but you certainly can't blur less than you've blurred. I know exactly what's going on.
I don't. I can't. Some of these folks, I'm not sure if they're male or female. I'm trying to find the unpixelated.
What's amazing is that just the color of the pixel can say so much.
Yes. Okay, so
these clothing ads are some of the hottest things I've ever seen in my life. That's weird.
Okay, I'm going to make a serious point eventually. But first, I'd like to say that it's funny. I didn't know that it was a Japanese erotic phone.
I don't know if it's technically erotic, but a lot of their sets do involve erotica and gender and stuff like gender fluidity and stuff like that.
Yeah, a photographer. So, I was like, this looks like Japanese porn, right? The only thing that's missing is that little vibrator. Anyway, I like that. I like that they're breaking all the rules. Although, again, my first read of it, because I didn't know what this brand was, and the article doesn't tell you. I was like, are they selling coffee? Are they selling beds? Are they selling clothes? I have no idea, right? Because they don't have any of that stuff in the ad. They don't barely have any
condoms.
Clothes. Right? It turns out they sell very expensive clothes.
Yes.
So, which, by the way, now that I understand that, it makes sense, because the way you get somebody to buy a $200 t-shirt is by saying, look at the sex, look at the sex.
This could be you.
Right. Like, that's how you get them to watch it, buy a
t-shirt. That will get
t-shirt.
You to buy orange socks or, I'm going to guess, a raincoat around your waist.
Yeah.
Maybe the jeans, I don't know.
Or maybe something else. Okay, I was very interested in that ad, very interested, and I lost all interest. Okay, so seriously, I think this is a good sign. And not because I'm pro-sex, which I am. But because I think advertisers in the past have been way too stodgy. And I keep talking
about
this.
Especially in America.
Yeah. They still think it's 1955. And oh my God, we don't want to offend anyone. Oh my God. Like, they're like weirdly fundamentalist about their ads. But now a lot of companies are taking more risks, going, what are we? Like, it's not like it's back in the days of I Love Lucy and there's three channels and I could just tell everybody to buy Tide and then they buy Tide. Ha ha, I win, et cetera. And I'm going to try to get 100% of the market. You ain't going to get 100% of the market. It's a new world. So if you can make a name for yourself and build a brand by being bold, that is a much, much better strategy than hiding in a cave going, did I offend anyone? Did I offend anyone?
Yeah.
So
yeah, and this,
I think this is the exact right way to go.
Yeah, and there are, I think, probably wrong ways to do this too. I mean, it's interesting how fast we've moved from American Apparel getting so much crap for their ads a decade ago that were way tamer than this. Now, of course, a lot of those ran in print where there's different requirements and all that. But there's different ways you can do this. You can do this in a socially conscious way or not. There's a suit company that sells suits online that has been targeted for its ads, which have men in suits and women in very sexually compromising positions that has kind of a salty sort of vibe to it. But here what you have is not just sex. You have sex that looks fully consensual, mutually appreciated, that involves both straight and gay couples. You have same race, interracial. I mean, it's a full sexually conscious, socially conscious advertising campaign using people that are attractive, certainly, but also look like normal people. So you could have done this in a horrible way, but I think that they did do it in the right way.
No, I was positive they did it in the right way. So by the way, that's also bold to have some gender non-conforming people or gender fluid people, to have male on male, female on female, interracial, etc. And that, by the way, you got to hand it to them because they handed it to themselves. Everyone got a handy in these ads. It was like male on male, female on male, male on female. Female on female, they're obsessed with hand love.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I thought for a second it might be a cream commercial, like like body cream or something. Anyways, well played. You're not going to get me to buy a $200 t-shirt if you show me all the sex in the world and put a gun to my head. But I appreciate the idea. Okay, we're out of time, folks. If you're a member, you're gonna love today. We got a great post game with John coming up in a second. Last night we did an epic old school for the members, which I think it was appreciated based on the reaction I saw online from members. But one of the things we didn't get to was Johnny.
More Brazilian food.
Yeah, that's right. We didn't get to Johnny Pie's love life. I wonder if we can touch on that in the post game.
We did in the second hour. Maybe we can go farther.
No. We haven't really broached the topic. So we're going to get a little spicy in the post game. Furthermore, later at 9 o'clock Eastern, aggressive progressive. So if you're not a member, that's okay. Check it out. You got a whole long 15-minute segment. It's super progressive. You'll love it. And then, of course, members get the whole show. So tytnetwork.com/join to become a member. Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.